This is Football CFB, the home of unique football content. I never told you. You scared off the vultures. I never told you. You scared off the ghosts living in my head. That lay lonely in the dirt. That lay
an absolute privilege to be joined on CFB today by the king of podcasts, especially from Scotland. Absolutely proud of his progress and success. James English, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, brother. Listen, I just want to say I'm proud of you also for what you're doing and achieving, mate. I've been watching you, mate, and keeping a close eye on things, and the guest you're getting on is you're fastly becoming one of the best podcasts out there for football-wise, and bringing in those guests, mate. It's unbelievable how fast you've grown, so proud of you also.
No, thank you for that. And in terms of anything goes, before we come to that, you've been very open on your shows about the fact that everyone struggles, has mental challenges, has battles with addictions and different things. What was life like for you before you started Anything Goes?
I was a loose cannon, mate. I grew up in a rough area, Apostle, it's called. Grew up in a rough area, drink, drugs, violence. It kind of, you become a product to your environment. So I surrounded myself with a lot of nutcases, if I'm honest, but a lot of good people as well. And yeah, I slipped into a lot of bad habits from alcohol, drugs, gambling, women, just trying to fill an emptiness, a void, because I wasn't happy. I played football for Hibs for a few years when I was younger, but my dad worked in a nightclub called Victoria's, which was a hot spot in Glasgow. So I used to get in there at 15, 16, tell all the girls I played for Hibs first team when I was only playing under 18s. And yeah, I got caught up in a bad life, and things started to spiral from the ages of 17 to 18 for a good 12 years after that. I was just a loose cannon. But again, if I never done all the misery and fuck-ups that I'd done in the past, I wouldn't be where I am today. So you've got to thank the past. So yeah, I was kind of, my head was all over the place for many, many years. But frankly, I feel blessed to have learnt from those mistakes to get to where I am now.
You mentioned the fact you've learned from them. You start Anything Goes, and what was the thoughts behind starting it? Because one of the things that I, and I know so many people, enjoy most about it is the fact that you're not scared to interview people that maybe, as you've said, have a checkered past or have got a certain public perception.
Yeah, but listen, mate, we've all got pasts. Do you know what I mean? Everybody's got a past. Everybody's got skeletons in their closet. I'm not scared to. That's why when I talk, I need to try and be as honest as I can be. Now, everybody says they're honest. I'm not 100% honest, maybe 90%. Or some things I'll hold back, or I'll maybe add to a story to make it a wee bit better. But it's just about, yeah, everybody's human. Do you know what I mean? And I've been surrounded by nutcases my whole life, especially coming from a rough area. So it feels normal to me. So it doesn't really matter who I'm interviewing. There's no intimidation. I'll never bend or I'll never break for no one anyway. But you'll tend to see the loudest men and the maddest men are also the weakest. So these people who hold guns and hold knives, that's a weakness because that's their comfort blanket. But you'll tend to see a lot of your crazy people who aren't of you. You'll tend to see once you break it all down, you realise they've either been bullied or abused when they're younger. So that anger and frustration becomes a defence mechanism. They don't want to be hurt anymore. So I'll hold this gun, I'll hold this knife, and I'll threaten people, or I'll stab people, whatever they do. And it protects them from getting hurt again. So it's all kind of linked. Every one of them, you tend to see has got childhood trauma. Well, every one of them. So it's turned up people. This is where I don't glorify anyone. I let people tell their story. My show's not about me. It's about the guest, their story, how they grew up, how it began. And then you get a better understanding because, like we spoke before, it's, the papers can make you look like a wrongian or a bad one. But deep down, once you get to understand people's stories, you can kind of figure out why they become the person they become.
Well, as I said to you off air, and I want to go on record and say it, one of the guests you had on, football related, Glenn Tamplin. Now, if you read the papers or you listen to Talk Sport or whatever, and I understand these platforms have got their place, they absolutely do, but he's portrayed as a sort of loose cannon, a guy that's got the biggest ego in the world, doesn't ever care for anything or anyone. Whereas he comes on your show, he speaks honestly and openly about his struggles, and also speaks about what he's tried to do to help others that have been in the same position as him. And I'll be honest with you, it changed my perspective of him, because on a 3-minute radio clip, as you know, you don't really get a chance to get to know somebody. Whereas with you, yeah, letting him speak, I left that interview at the end and I thought, do you know what? I actually completely misunderstood him. Now, as you've said, everybody's got a past, he does as well, but you understand him more as a person and you think, it's amazing how quick we are to judge.
Yeah, of course, mate. As human beings, we're all vulnerable. We're all insecure. We are all fucking struggle. Now, I'm doing amazing things, mate. I know where I'm going. I've got a path. I'm on the right path. I'm doing good things. But I still struggle. I have my moments. Same as Glenn Tamplin. He built his business up to be worth 50 million. Had everything. Girlfriend, all the cars, all the houses. But still wasn't happy. Again, he was bullied when he was younger. Ended up with a coke habit. He died. He OD'd. So, but now he's wanting to help others, and I think that's the beauty. When you go through a change and a transition, you realise that it's not just about us, it's about pulling other people up from the struggle, because we know how dark it is when you're down there. Now, I've been to hell, mate, not just one time, but many times, from addictions and the shit that I've done and the shit that I've seen. It's a painful experience, but then you use that as your advantage in the latter years, and in your 30s, 40s, whatever, 50s. You can utilise that to your advantage, and I use my pain now as fire, as fuel, to keep me going forward.
And in terms of going forward, we'll come later on to the sort of future and the ambitions, but in terms of your show and the growth, I mean, it's well over 10 million views on YouTube now. If that was somebody with a multi-millionaire backer behind them, you'd be going, fair play, well done. But for yourself, you mentioned the fact you've grown up in Postle, to producing this on your own, to get to the point where you are a success story. How does it make you feel, having come from where you were to where you are now? And it's not finished here, it's only going to grow.
Yeah, this is only the beginning. And like I say, I'm confident. I'm so confident. Listen, I'll be a number one podcast in the UK. That's no two ways about that. Maybe next 6 months, 12 months, I'll be the house. I'll be the number one show in the UK. And I'm so fucking confident. I said this 2 years ago. People laughed. People going, no chance. But like I spoke earlier on Twitter and stuff, consistency is key. Consistency is key. And I'm so confident. And I'm so confident in my material. I'm so confident in my own ability. I have a gift with people. People want to come on my show now and tell their story. And I don't know, man. It's just people tell me how well I'm doing. I don't feel it. Like, I'll hit certain goals. 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. I remember lying in bed and I was hitting it. It was coming. Like, I knew it was like 9999. I knew it. And when I hit it, man, it was like I felt good for 10 seconds and then it disappeared. So success is an illusion as well. It's all what we create in here. So for me, it's just to keep creating goals, keep creating targets. And everyone I do, and I'm hitting out the park. It's like a lot of people talk. I put it into action. I do a lot of work behind the background that nobody understands. I'll go out and I'll drive around the UK and I maybe smash out 5-6 podcasts in a day or two. You know yourself, mate, it ain't easy talking to someone. It ain't easy talking to someone for an hour, 2 hours. Everybody in their dad has started a podcast, but 99% all faulty fuck. Why? Because they don't believe in it. When my show was getting 10 views, 100 views, the first 10 episodes, 20 episodes, people quit then. I never quit because I knew my ability. I knew I would get better. Now, I never had media training. I've not had any shit like that. And I'm still me. Nothing changes. And like I say, people tell you, you're doing amazing. I still don't feel it. I still feel the same. But I just know where I'm going, man. And that's, I've got some purpose. And I think in life, you need to find your purpose. You need to find your drive. What gets you up in the morning and pushes you? Like I say, I've got my goal to be number one. And we're hitting nearly 20 million views. But by the end of the next 6 months, 12 months, man, we'll be 100 million. And this is no funding, no backing. You've got guys like Russell Brand and Peter Crouch working for the BBC and stuff like that. And they've got backing. I'm a boy from the streets, man, who just got Tony Bellew on there on Tuesday, who's never really done a two-hour interview before. And what that does is just opens the door for the rest to come flooding in, because they'll go, who the fuck is this boy? And then when I actually do a check, I've 106 guests I've had on, and I could call every one of them now and they would come back on my show. No bad blood, no grievances. I'm not there to challenge people. I'm just there to let people tell their story. Now, I've had some colourful guests like Johnny Adair, Tommy Robinson. Just because I had murderers or bank robbers on, it doesn't mean I'm out robbing banks and murdering people. Do you know what I mean? It's to give a platform, but also it's clever. It's also business, because people, no matter what, these colourful characters, people may be bad-mouthed them or say what they've got to say, but they still watch. they'll get into work the next day and talk about it. That's free promotion for me. That's publicity. Like I say, I couldn't give a fuck about politics. That's not me. I'm more about me, my family, everybody happy and creating goals. But I utilise that to my advantage. Remember, I'm coming from nothing. So for me, the crime ones are the big hitters. So people are going to watch them. No matter who you are, people watch them. So now that I've built a platform that big, that there's going to come a stage I'll be able to get any guest in the world in the next 12 to 18 months. I'm talking about A-listers, I'm talking about superstars. But again, just because they're a big name, it doesn't mean they're necessarily going to get big, big figures, because I've had people on who no one's really heard of and they're hitting a million views. And my channel's only been going 2 years. So yeah, it's about, the content's got to be good as well. The content, everything's content, but I don't know, mate. I'm just a visionary, mate, and I'm on a good path. So I just need to stick to it and keep doing what I'm doing. There's a lot of sharks at the side as well, brother. So a lot of people waiting for you to fall. A lot of people waiting for you to fail. And with success comes a lot of negativity. But I've learnt that over the last 2 and 3 years that I don't mean shit. Everything, all that stuff's external. Do you know what I mean? I'm too strong. I've been through too much shit to let anything faze me. If that was the case, then I would have stopped ages ago. When you have certain guests, James English is cancelled, this and that. That shit don't mean anything, mate. That's just keyboard warriors who talk and pish, who do nothing with their own life, seeing a successful guy coming now. But the thing is, when you start getting success, people's ears prick up and they go, what is it he's doing? And then the haters become then your followers. They want to know how you've changed. And I get thousands of messages each week from people who are suicidal, addicts, want to make changes and better themselves. And listen, I'm not a guru. I'm not a saint. I'll meditate every day. I'll have my visions. I'll go over my goals. I'll go over my affirmations. But listen, man, I still get angry. I still want to fuck. I still get a bit of road. I'm a human being. Do you know what I mean? We make mistakes, brother, but I try and learn from mine, which is a great thing. Yeah, everything I'm doing, I love it, man. I just love it.
And what I like about what you said there, you summed it up. Like I've been running this now for just over 6 months, and it's amazing how at the start, as you say, when you've got like 100, 200, you get people to say, it will never go anywhere. Then when it does go somewhere, that's when you start to get people saying, but it's shite anyway, blah, blah, blah. And and then eventually, as you know, you get to a point where those people who are saying that are now saying, fuck, how did you get Joey Barton? Or for you, how did you get Tony Bell?
That was a belter, mate. That was a turning point for you. You only need, see, it's consistency is key, but then you get that one guest that turns things. So you get UK press for that and people will get followers, then they start dipping into other ones. My content's always been there. It's just about pushing traffic towards it.
That's it.
Everything's, it's business, bro. So, like Joey Barton, controversial. Celtic fans fucking hate him. But again, they would still watch. They would still retweet. They would still, same as when I had Tommy Robinson on. The backlash that I got was unreal. But people, I got 10,000, 20,000 subscribers from that as well. Do you know what I mean? People talking about it, getting into work, that bastard had that. Why is he having him on? Listen, it's business. It's fair to let people tell their story. I don't support anyone who's on my show. I support me, and I'm creating a brand. I'm creating a business. That's all it is. It's anything goes. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, the Joey Barton one, proud of you, mate. That was a great guest, mate. Great guest. And you've had some crackers on now. But again, sky's the limit for you. It's only you can fail. It's only how far you want to go. But for me, mate, I want to be the top, man. I want to be the king. And then once I do that, I'll see where I'm going after that. Do you know what I mean? But right now, my goal is head down, and just work hard on the rest.
And do you know, another guest you had on that, again, and credit to you for this, it changed a lot of perspectives, Marvin Baird, in terms
like
of
Marvin Philistine,
the amount, you know what it's like, before he came on, he's a fucking waster, he's this, he's that, we've seen the programme, he came on, and the amount of people I've seen in your, I tweeted you as well, but the amount of people that got in touch to say, do you know, fuck, you can understand turning points in people's lives. Just what was he like to interview? Because I felt like he came out of that really well, in the sense that he could understand his plight.
Yeah, good guy. Really good guy. Listen, I've had addiction issues, so I know what it's like to steal, lie and cheat. But because I always go for a sunbed, I wore a nice suit, I smothered it well. Do you know what I mean? I wasn't as bad as maybe taking heroin or Hunters or Valium every day. But just because, if you've got an addiction, you're never better than somebody else who maybe got a heroin addict. If you've got a coke addiction, then people kind of look down to heroin addicts and go, look, state that. But it's all the same, man. And that guy got a bad deal. And you tend to, when you interview them, he's actually a very intelligent man, but been caught up in the wrong environment. And the scheme shafted them. They didn't even get paid for that. They were videoing them in their kitchen, injecting smack. And that shit shouldn't be allowed, if I'm honest, man. That's not real. That's not real documentaries. That's not what stuff's about, man, exposing people from their own benefits, and they get a BAFTA for that, I believe. And listen, it changed Marvin's life as well. He was to end up doing like meet and greets, getting 500 quid a grand, and but really nice man. And I was rooting for him because we were supposed to do a follow-up to the scheme, but it would have been a positive light. Kilmarnock's actually a decent place, man, but it would have been a positive light, showing people how to change and making differences. But yeah, I liked him, really liked him. And yes, he's made his mistakes, but again, we're all human and I understand. I've had family members who've been addicts as well, from alcohol, heroin. I've seen it all, so I don't judge my guests because we're all the same. We're all human, no matter who you are, no matter if it's a porn star, a gangster, somebody with addiction. We're all human, man. We all bleed the same. So it's to show some empathy and not fuck anyone over, especially people like that. And they don't need to come on my show. People come on my show, their free will to tell their story. Do you know what I mean? They're doing me a favour just as much as I'm doing them a favour. But I liked them. I liked them.
But you summed it up there. When somebody comes on, see, when you give people a platform to speak, as you say, nothing annoys me more when you hear like a radio show or a newspaper interview, and they clearly tell somebody they're going to interview them for an hour, get them, maybe only do 10 minutes with them, and they get the headline or they get the thing that they want. Yeah. Whereas the beauty of doing an hour or two, as you know, somebody can open up completely. It's like the one, I'll be honest with you, I've just watched this week with Stephen French, and he's a big guy who, some of the stories, like when he was talking about when he was in the box at Liverpool and stuff like that, yeah. It's unbelievable when you hear those stories. And again, it's amazing how there's this perception of the gangsters, the underworld, that they are tough, they are strong, they're all empowering. But so many of them, as you've rightly said in this show at the start, they've had checkered pasts of being bullied themselves, and violence is that defence mechanism. And it's easy to pigeonhole somebody to say, oh, they've always been bad, they've always been this. But until you find out the full story, you can't understand them enough.
Yeah. Everybody's got a story. And again, like I say, the criminals, that is a vulnerability where, as human beings, we shouldn't be portraying violence or crime. Or it's not normal to hurt another human being. Now, I had Johnny Adair on, who says, three things to do when you're killing someone. He says, the first thing is actually killing someone. He says, but that's easier than two and three. He says, the second part is, are you willing to go to prison for the rest of your life? And the third part is, the most important part, can you live with that for the rest of your life? And that's what he says, the majority of people who kill people or are involved in that stuff end up with addiction issues or suicidal, because the conscience can't live with the destruction that it's caused, no matter how tough you are. No matter how tough you are. Now, I've seen the weakest become the strongest and the strongest become the weakest. The mind is a powerful thing, and I believe in karma as well. If you do bad, it will come back and bite you in the ass. If you do good, you can attract good and your life feels better. And I've not got the key, and I don't know all the answers, but for me, it's to be doing things naturally, keeping fit, eating right, and you attract better things into your life. But like you say, there, mate, Stephen French, man, it was a weird one. I didn't even really get to say much in the interview. He just went on one, so yeah. But it still hit big numbers, mate, so that's what it's all about for me, hitting big numbers, getting a good story and good content, and that's it.
You mentioned there about eating well, keeping fit. You enjoy your hill walking, getting up the bends. What's that been like for you over the lockdown period?
Yeah, it's good, mate. Like I say, I've not been 100% sticking to the rules. I'm one man, I'm one person, I'm not hurting anyone. So I done main thing. Suicide's risen 250% over the last 3-4 months. Alcohol sales has risen 50%. I didn't want to be one of these people sitting in the house drinking. I don't drink anyway now, but sitting, slipping into old habits, possibly drinking, and then becoming a fucking threat to my own mental state. So I was still going hill walks. I was still out walking and running, and I came out this lockdown flying. I've come out faster, fitter, stronger, and ready to go and finish the year strong. So the lockdown was good for me. Like I say, I don't surround myself with people. I'm not out drinking anyway, so I don't really miss anything. I enjoyed the roads being quiet. I enjoyed it not being busy. Do you know what I mean? So I utilised that to my advantage. I got myself bang on the money to ready to finish the year strong. So I'm ready now. The next 6 months, just wait, watch me go through the gears and how fucking far I go. It's got to be scary. It's scary what I'm going to achieve in the next six months.
Something else as well is the actual show on YouTube is in the podcasts. I really enjoy the documentaries. The homelessness documentary was incredibly powerful. But the latest one with the ayahuasca, I mean, that just looked unbelievably crazy. Yeah. Like, it was one of those ones when you announced it, I didn't know much about it, so I'd kind of Googled it and I went, God, that sounds pretty fascinating. And then I watched it and it was equally as fascinating. Tell us what it was like.
Yeah, listen, it was a weird experience. I was going there in a good place. I was going drink-free, drug-free, gambling-free. I was going really in a good place. The opportunity came about that you came over here, make the documentary, we'll pay everything. So looked it up, plant medicine, but still sceptical because heroin and coke still a plant. So there's a wee bit of a devil in me with a wee bit of addiction thinking, I can go there and take it, still get fucked up, but I'm making a documentary. So that was my get-out. Was I really going there just to get wasted, or was I going there really to heal and get answers? But yeah, I done it. 9 days we were in Costa Rica. It's 2 plants from the Amazon jungle. I think there's nearly 1 million plants in the Amazon jungle. So they mix these two together. It's got DMT in it, which the body releases. They say when you drink ayahuasca, it reconnects you with your soul. They say it's a shortcut to happiness. You do it for 4 days and they say... you face all your fears and trauma. And drank that, boom, the ceiling opened. You start visualizing, you start seeing things. I was in hell. I was seeing family members. I was in real pain. It ain't an easy journey. And you do this for 4 days. I lost a bit of memory as well, which was weird. But they says they had an answer for everything as well. Now, I'm not an ambassador for ayahuasca. It's each to their own. I'm glad I tried that. I met some amazing people. Would I do it again? Do you know what? I probably would, because that's me a wee bit. I'm psychotic a little bit, so I probably would, because it's experiment hunting. But I don't know, man. I don't know. I genuinely, there's people who's been through worse trauma than me that are doing better than me and are happier than me than I've never took ayahuasca. I just think it can be a cop-out as well for people. But the people who were in the documentary had heroin addicts, people saying they had cancer, people were suicidal, and 1 year later they're still in a good place. So maybe it has got some element of, I don't know, goodness in it. But for me, I'm still unsure. I don't trust anybody, I don't trust that, but I would probably still do it again because it was a great experience.
And in terms of the future for you, James, a tour is something that I've seen that you're planning. Just how excited are you to take the show on the road?
Yeah, I'm buzzing, mate. I'll get a UK tour, 300 seaters, 500 seaters. Glasgow, Edinburgh, Newcastle, London, Liverpool, Belfast. Yeah, mate, I'm buzzing, mate. And I know where I'm going to go, mate. I know how big I'm going to go. And when different guests come in, like I say, my platform's growing. People are starting to take notes now. And I've broke through. I've went to another level. And now it's to go right for the top. Go for the juggling. Yeah, and you can meet people in... I'll never walk past anybody in the street. I'll never put my head down. I'm not that kind of guy. Everything stays the same with me. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to the tour. It'll be a great tour, getting some guests on from all around the UK with some great stories. And, yeah, I'm buzzing for it, mate. It's just another level again, mate. It's another income. And, like I say, I'm becoming a businessman. So I've got to learn the tricks. I've got to learn everything. And I just want to have... Listen, I'll be a multi millionaire. That's, and I know, mate, money's not everything. Christie's House here, which is, I'm an ambassador for, which is 24/7 suicide centre in Wishaw. I do a lot of work for them. So, yeah, I know exactly where I'm going. And my documentaries are second to none. I create all that for myself from Vision. There's no day, it's just me and my cameraman. That's it. Even the podcast, there's no big team, there's no nothing. It's just straight hustle. But again, my team will expand this year. I'll bring other people in. But right now, it's just build the platform. The platform's done now. That's built. So now it's just a case of how far I want to take this. And like I says, mate, cocky, confident, whatever it is, but I will be the number one podcast. I will be the go-to guy that everybody will want to come on and tell their story. Not just in the UK, but worldwide. I'll travel the world with us. And my visions for the documentaries, other documentaries that I've got in line, have never been done before. Even the homeless at Christmas one, the 7 days on the street. People have done it and they'll have production teams and this and that. I've done that myself and we're still doing it 2-3 years later. It's not just a case of doing a documentary, trying to get a bit of exposure and using people. I'm still doing my homeless work. I'm still out there. Do you know what I mean? I don't promote it. The documentary I had to promote because it's to create awareness. But the other stuff that we do every other day is we're still there. We don't just turn our back. I let majority of people who do these kind of documentaries, an ayahuasca one, not an ambassador, down to some, it's your call whether you want to do it or not. It's a fucking wild experience. But the documentaries that I've got coming up, again, so confident in my content, it blows everybody else out of the water. And I've had many rejections, many knockbacks 2-3 years ago. My stuff wasn't good enough. You've got a criminal record. It'll not go anywhere. I went and made them anyway. Created the podcast, and made the documentaries. Now we've got Netflix talks. We've got the homeless ones on Amazon Prime, and I've got one of the biggest podcasts in the UK. So for anybody watching or listening, man, you've got to follow your dreams and believe in yourself. Fuck everybody else, because people's opinion of you doesn't have to be a reality either. So that's why I just keep chipping away. Now I've created something, and the people who I had interviews with 2-3 years ago, who says that my stuff wasn't good enough or I needed to be more creative, are now emailing me, want to do things. But I'm so stubborn and a bit of a dick that way where I just blanket, fuck them, because they never believed in me at the start. So I'm not going to give them. Because listen, mate, BBC Scotland and shit, their views don't come close to where I'm coming. We hit 3 million views last month alone on YouTube. Some of the channels on BBC Scotland are hitting zero views. This is TV. Do you know what I mean? So social media is a powerful tool if you utilise it correctly, especially YouTube. YouTube's massive, and I believe for the next 5 years, YouTube will be the place that everybody's going to. And I will go to, because they can get some truth there as well. But you can go down a rabbit hole on YouTube, mate. I've sat on YouTube for fucking 12 hours, mate, before you know you're watching stuff about the Illuminati. And you can go right down the rabbit hole, but it's a powerful tool, man. If you use it correctly, you can make some fucking money from it.
Well, that's the thing, as you've said as well. The fact that, let's be honest, if you get signed up to like a BBC Scotland or whatever, that's the sort of thing where people go, right, we're putting this team around you. We need, you can't say this, you can't interview him, you can't do that. Whereas what you're doing with building this brand is giving you the platform to, one, interview who you want, two, anything goes, as you've said with the title of it, anything goes. Nobody can tell you, you can't interview him or you can't interview her. It's your choice. And it's that freedom that is going to make you the number one podcast in the UK and get around the world, because as you've said, and the reason I'm saying this is because I believe in you, because you've inspired me a hell of a lot, because what you're doing is on your own, you're building this brand, and you can tell through the interviews that you do that you've researched these people because you want to speak to them. Nobody's handed you a guest and went, going to stick him on. You've chosen who you want. And for me, that comes through every time.
Yeah, it's a variety, mate. You've got to have variety. Change is good. People don't know what's coming from one week to the next. And that's what I like. It's anything goes. But people think it's easy. It ain't easy. Do you know what I mean? This ain't easy. Talk and setting up and trying to get people on time. And do you know what I mean? And even with the BBC Scotland thing, if I was to go there, no disrespect, but I'm taking a step back. Do you know what I mean? I'm going, I don't need mainstream. Do you know what I mean? I'll build my channel. I'll have my million subscribers within the next 12 months. And then I've got my channel where I can release any documentary, any podcast, and it's in my terms. Because if I was to go and work for someone, they would cut out my swearing, they would water me down, and then I would forget myself. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to forget myself and where I am and where I've come from. So, right, but listen, mate, I say that, but if somebody comes in with a fucking big offer, mate, I might just sell my soul, mate, and just fuck everything, know what I mean? So it's easier said than done, mate, but for me, mate, it's got to stay true to me. It's got to make sense to me. Everything I do is try to be real, raw, and honest. And then we just got the green light to make the new Amy Winehouse documentary, which will be mega. So for me to get that shows that people are keen. But again, this will be real, it'll be raw, it'll be no. Every documentary or film has kind of tarnished their name. This was not tarnished their name. That last, it was a singing legend. But people need to understand that this is addiction issues. We'll touch on the addiction and how hard that is, because family members get, why didn't you change or take it to rehab? That ain't what it's about. If you've got a problem, it's only you that can change it. Nobody's going to take your hand and get you changed. So I'm excited for that one, because that'll be mega. That's out, not out, away out to next year, but that'll be a cracker. So well.
Definitely. And before I let you go, thanks for your time, by the way. Very generous for your time.
Brother. How long your interviews usually last?
Normally, it depends. Normally about an hour and a half.
I need rush, mate, so fire away. What have you got to ask, bro?
What I wanted to talk to you about, obviously, it's predominantly a football show. You mentioned the fact that you were at Hibs as a kid. Do you still keep up to football now? Do you still keeping track of the scores, watch the games? How's your experience with football?
I'm a Celtic man, mate. So, I've always dipped my toe in, man. I've got a few games. I'm not as loyal as I used to be 10 years ago, but I've always, as a part-time fan, mate, as people say, but I'll go to all the big games. I'll get tickets and I'll go to all the big games, Old Firm games, European games. It's not something I used to get angry. Not my family are Rangers supporters, so it used to be fucking wars. Do you know what I mean? So you hate the bastards in the family when it's Old Firm Day. I don't care what anybody says. The passion between the Celtic Rangers fans and the haters is what makes it one of the best derbies in the world. So I don't think that will ever go. But for me, I'm not as attached as I used to be. I just let it dip my toe in, watch it, and then it's kind of done. I know people will cry and people can really go into work and hate work, take days off. And for me, man, you're watching other people live their dreams. Right now, I'm living my dreams, so I want to concentrate on me. Do you know what I mean? I just think they can take up a lot of your time because it's every week, it's every day, looking at transfers, looking at, and it can be difficult. So for me, I just concentrate on me. If there's a good game on, I'll watch it. If not, I'm not losing any sleep. So, I love the football, man. It's in my blood. I've been playing it since I was 1 year old, man, 2 years old. I've always played it. Still play it to this day. But, I'm not get too involved. I watch the Premiership. I don't even watch it anymore, if I'm honest. That's fairly way to fuck. I don't think... I like today's when it was Roy Keane and Vieira and just tough old derbies, man, and good games. Now it's kind of... It's just commercialised too much. There's too much... I don't know, I'd love to see Celtic and Rangers in it, and I believe that could potentially happen because I know a lot of clubs are going bust, so maybe this is an in, and I think the Premiership needs that, maybe in the next 3-4 years.
That could be something, as you say, especially with the kind of finances, that it could happen. What I wanted to ask you, and you might not want to give the answer to this, but who would you say would be the maybe top 5 dream guests who you would like to get?
I'd like Mike Tyson. Billy Connolly is my number one. I want to big, hopefully maybe get one in the next 12 months once everything starts growing. Do you know what I mean? It's difficult as well because people think it's a crime podcast. It's not. Do you know what I mean? I've had over 100 guests. I know maybe only 20 have been crime, but it's because the crime ones get spoke about the most. But when you get Tony Bellew and guests in, and the guests I've got coming on this year, it breaks it all up, and then you can potentially get these guests like Conor McGregor, Billy Connolly. That's my top three, mate. Billy Connolly, Conor McGregor. I love Mike Tyson. I'd love to hear his story. Because he's been through a lot of shit. He lost his kid and stuff, and obviously with the drug abuse, and the guy's changed his life. He's actually flying just now. I think he's got a fight coming up. Billy Connolly's my number one, though. I want the big man on to get his story. That's my number one. I've always had his name down from the day one. I've wrote over, 300 guests down, and I've got, 60 of them so far. So, like I say, writing stuff down and believing in your goals, you can get them. But Billy Connolly would be the number one for me just now because the guy's a legend. He kept in the comedy circuit for so long, and it's so hard. Listen, success is easy. It's maintaining it. This is the problem. Maintaining the shit. You know what I mean? So you've always got to be different and change with the weather every couple of years and adjust and make some adjustments and to better yourself. That guy done it. And I just love his story because he stayed in Finiston and I've got family in Finiston. So he'd be number one. I'd love to get Conor McGregor on. I believe I'll get him on in the next 2 years. Mike Tyson, you never know, but if I keep getting boxers on and if he's ever in the UK, I've got some good contacts now. My phone book is unreal, mate. I've got some fucking nutcases, but one day you can have Paul Ferry's phone, and then you've got Tony Bellew, and then you've got Dan Penn, a billionaire, and then you've got, it's just mental, mate, the phone calls that I get. And sometimes I'm thinking, fuck me, man, I've just had a phone call with such and such. It doesn't really sink in that you're becoming well known. And well liked as well, I like to think. But listen, I'm a human being, I've still got to keep working on me, and I'm not a fucking saint, as I've said earlier. I still make my mistakes, but I know where I'm going. I was just trying to be a better person and be better to people. But when it comes to podcasting, that I'm fucking ruthless, man. I know it's cutthroat business. Like, there's only a few survive. You can make a living from it, and I'm lucky to be living my dreams, mate, because I love it. I found something that I love. I found something that I'm good at. And this is the longest I've ever stuck to anything in my life. So, long may it continue, brother.
Well,
who's your ideal guest?
In terms of, for me, dream guest for me would be Sir Alex Ferguson. I'd just love to get him on and ask him about what was it like working with like Beckham and Keane. And I always think with him, we always knew when to move people on. I would just like to know, how did you know? Like, how? Because from the outside looking in, you know, it's like, imagine social media was out back then. It'd be like, what the fuck? You're getting rid of Keane, you're getting rid of Beckham. Whereas he was ruthless, as we've said in this podcast, where it was a case for him of, nah, they're going and they're done. And I would love to just understand how he believed in his judgments so kind of forcefully, when a lot of other people would have said no chance.
Yeah, he's a tactician, but he always had control of his dressing room. Like you say, Old Trafford now, I don't think Solskjaer's got control of the dressing room. You look at Pogba, I just think that guy's poisonous, man. I just think he might be a great player, but for a dressing room, mate, he's not a Roy Keane, he's not a Cantona, he's not... I don't know, man, it's just... Man U is Man U. Man U will come strong again. I believe Chelsea's going to be contenders next season. But Sir Alex Ferguson, what he's came from, it's his man management. That's why a lot of the Scottish managers are some of the best managers in the world, because they're man management. It's the way they compose themselves, and they're crazy. Scottish people are some of the best people in the world. It's one of the best, I think it's the top five most trusted accent in the world, if people can understand it. But it's an accent. And because we swear a lot, we're angry bastards, Scottish people. Do you know what I mean? We're no Italians, cool, calm, collective. We're angry, we're scruffy. I just think, yes, Scottish managers always represent themselves well. Just a shame, somebody. Well, saying that, I believe Scotland in the next 2 or 3 years could have a team worth challenging to get into the Championship and the Euros or the World Cup, because you get some talent there. Some young boys coming through, man, and the boy Gilmore as well. So, yeah, I'd like to see all that, but Alex Ferguson could be, you will get him on, bro. Just keep believing in it, keep chipping away. And obviously, your contacts yourself, so you're not fucking anyone over, mate. All your guests seem to enjoy it. Your Joey Bart one was next level, so you just got to keep chipping away, mate. Like I say, you're a likeable guy, you come across really well, so the sky's the limit, mate. How far you want to go, do you know what I mean? Well, how many times have you been downloaded now? Hundreds of thousands, isn't it?
Aye, so it's just approaching 200,000. So it's been unbelievable.
Good on you, mate. Like I say, this is only your first year. So what's it going to be like? 2 years, 3 years? Everything's consistency. Keep putting them out there. Keep bringing in guests, but you've got to keep trying to produce bigger guests, better guests, bigger stories. I'm only talking from my experience that it's just consistency. Now we're 2 years deep, and We've put a podcast out every week without fail. Every week. And that's consistency, because people then don't forget. If people go missing for 2 or 3 months and then come back and expect everything, there's so much podcast, there's so much TV. So you need to get that half an hour or hour to get somebody's attention, and it's willing to sit down and give you your attention. And that, there, once you've got them in the grasp of your hands, they ain't going to leave, because there's people are nosy bastards as well. So for what you're achieving, mate, that's right. I'm proud of you, well, mate. I always follow your stuff, and like I say, man, you just got to keep chipping away. Keep chipping away, because you're on the right path, and just don't listen to too many people, because you're already doing it anyway. Never take advice from somebody. Never take criticism from anyone you wouldn't go for advice for. So, unless somebody had a bigger podcast and was doing something different, like people message me and tell me, oh, you should have asked this question and that question. I'm thinking, who the fuck are you to say when you're sitting with one subscriber or just sitting there telling me how to interview someone at? Pisses me off sometimes, but take good with the bad, brother.
Absolutely. And the last question I've got for you before I let you go, James, is you've given me some great advice there. What advice would you give to anyone that's maybe doing a podcast or trying to be creative? Because in terms of this, for me, like you, it's my dream to do this full time one day, and I'm determined to just chip away and one day make it a reality. What would you say to anyone else out there who's got a dream and they're maybe reluctant to go for it?
Roll the dice. Because if you're unsure, the universe becomes sure. Don't ask too many people, because we all kind of want acceptance. We all kind of want to make sure we're making the right choices. But just roll the dice. If you want to start a podcast, you can record it in your phone. Start off easy. Record it in your phone. Start building up. If you start enjoying it, then you start. Everybody loves talking. Doesn't matter how big your stuff is. I had big guests when my show was just starting. So it's nothing to do with that. People will give you their time. People are actually okay, man. People. So roll the dice, believe in yourself. Don't ask too many people questions about, am I making the right choice? It's all down to the individual. Go with your gut.
will dive down to the ocean, and we'll make our home in a deep sea cave, and our shells will all be open. They'll be filled with song, they'll be filled with song. We'll dive down to the ocean, and we'll make our home in a deep sea cave, and our shells will all be open. They'll be filled with song, they'll be